just standing healing with Dr. Daniels. It is Sunday, June 17th. A shout out to all the fathers there. Happy Father's Day. Well, a very exciting day. Not everyone gets to be a father, so it's a wonderful thing. And today's topic is cause and effect, or is it? Now, there is a question. You know, we're really conditioned to believe that everything has a cause and effect. Everything's rational. This causes that. And then, before you know it, oh my God, you know, that everything leads to everything else. What if it's not really like that? What if there's something else going on? So today what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at this whole cause and effect thing. And we're going to try and sort out what's really going on. Now, before we do that, we're going to try and say hello on Facebook. No, I don't even know how to start Facebook. There was a time, not too long ago, when I could just click a button and things would happen. Well, Facebook, sorry, I have to catch you later. All right, so the thing we're taught in medical school is everything has a cause. Well, no, everything has an effect, and then a cause, and then an effect, and then a cause. The primary cause is we don't know. This is an important concept to understand, because if you don't know what's causing the problem, then chances are excellent that you cannot solve the problem. And we see this in medicine, and it's euphemistically referred to as chronic disease. A chronic disease means a disease for which modern medicine has been totally ineffective. That is what chronic disease is. And so when we look at these chronic diseases, whether it's arthritis, hypertension, diabetes, we're taught in medical school the same thing. We don't know the cause, but by golly, we've got treatment. And so, of course, the treatment is not effective, naturally, because the cause, whatever it is, let's leave that open for a few minutes here, is something that is never addressed. And so the thing causing disease recurs, and so it's misinterpreted as, I found the Facebook page. If it's interpreted as not having a cause, when actually the cause is either not known or, even worse, is ignored. Let's say hi to the folks on Facebook. Hi, Facebook. All right, so today we're talking about cause and effect, or is it really? And first of all, when you see two things happening at the same time, or maybe even in sequence, there's quite a few possibilities here. And so what has happened is we've been trained to only consider one possibility, which is A causes B. And there's a lot more possibilities. A can cause B to increase, or B really causes A, and we are told the opposite. And this is the case in hypertension, for example. In hypertension, we are told in medical school that first you have hypertension, don't know what causes it, just boom, happens. And then, because of the hypertension, the muscles and the blood vessels work harder and harder and harder, and they get large and muscular, and they get blocked off. So first there's a hypertension, and then the vessels get blocked, when, of course, it's the other way around, which means you can never solve the problem if you work first to get rid of the blood pressure instead of getting rid of the blockage, which is the cause. And then the same thing can cause both A and B. This is an important concept. So rain can cause the plants to grow, and it can cause flooding. So plants growing doesn't cause flooding, right? So the same thing, rain, causes both. Next, you can have two things happen at the same time, and there's no cause and effect. For example, you can have brown eyes and wear blue socks. You're not wearing blue socks because you have brown eyes. The next day, you might wear a different pair of socks. The two things are unrelated. Yes, they both happen, but they are unrelated. And so we can see this with HIV-positive testing and having AIDS. You can test 1,000 people. You're going to get a bunch of positive test results. But is that going to correlate with the individual being sick? No. So what you have then is two events, random, no association at all. And you make an association. And what does that result in? Disappointing results, let's just put it that way. Now, here's another one. I like this one. Old phenomena re-explained. So you have something that's going on, it's been going on forever and ever and ever. Let's just call it vomiting and diarrhea. It happens all the time, and in the United States, 48 million people a year have this condition. What's our explanation? Our explanation is salmonella, E. coli, food poisoning, and so on. With the Ebola epidemic, there was an attempt to rename this as being caused by Ebola, therefore requiring the government to quarantine people for 21 days and seize all their possessions. And so what we really have then is a new story, a new storyline created that justifies government action, in this case, unreasonable search and seizure, as well as incarceration for 21 days without due process. So this is a dilemma we have in understanding much of our life. When you get these things mixed up, in other words, you look at a situation where two events are random, not associated, and you attempt to create a cause and effect relationship, then going forward, your ability to make good decisions is seriously impaired. And it can lead to a loss of money, a waste of time, even loss of life. And definitely a loss of happiness, which is the worst of all. But the truth is obvious for all to see. In other words, there are observations called evidence that point to the truth in all cases. There's no such thing as truth without evidence. There's no such thing as a hidden truth. So if someone says something is true, there should be a way for you to independently verify it, because every truth has consequences. Like, remember the old TV show Truth or Consequences? No. It's truth and consequences. So what we're going to do today is take a look at a logical flaw. This is a classic logical flaw we see in medicine all the time. And when I first saw this pattern, I was amazed by it. And I said, well, isn't this curious? Not realizing, of course, that it was the design. All right, so let's take a look. We're going to take a look at, again, this is a medical industrial complex itself. This is their, this is their research. This is their conclusion. Not making accusations here, just taking confessions. So some industrious people in Amsterdam, God bless them, decided that they would do some research. And they were curious about patients with osteoarthritis having an increased chance of heart disease. Because you're like, oh, wait a minute, you got joint pain. How's that affecting the heart? Why is it that people with joint pain have, say, 50% higher chance of having heart disease or heart attack than, 23% higher, and people with osteoarthritis and those who don't have osteoarthritis. So this is huge. They're like, well, this is curious. Why is this the case? What is the cause? let's see what they figured out. Okay, so for patients with osteoarthritis, some non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, NSAIDs. Now, just for your information, to give you some collateral data, we have a narcotics epidemic going on in the United States. People are dropping dead from that. Got it. Roger that. And people are being told, wait, take NSAID instead of the narcotics. And so let's see how that plays out. And so people who take these drugs have an increased risk of heart disease more than twice the rate of the general population, new research shows. Holy cow. So if you take these arthritis drugs, your chances of dying from the number one cause of death in the United States, heart disease, doubles. That sounds like it might be worse than narcotics. I mean, there's only 56,000 people a year dying from narcotics. There's about 700,000, give or take a few, dying from heart disease. You double that, man, that's another 700,000 deaths if we can get everyone to take NSAIDs. So, this is shocking. But wait, there's no cure for people with osteoarthritis, no cure for arthritis. Now, the doctors had no cure for it, that's true, number one. But number two, let's just say what's not said anywhere in this article, which is osteoarthritis is not a deadly condition. And then they say, and you have to treat the pain. Well, treat, in parenthesis, presumes give prescription drug. And the answer, of course, is you don't. So we have a false assumption here already, laying the groundwork for even more false assumptions. But when you treat it with NSAIDs, you increase cardiovascular risk, says a PhD researcher from the University of British Columbia in Canada. These drugs are commonly used to treat stiff joints that arthritis patients experience, especially in the morning. Thinning of the cartilage in joints causes bones to rub against each other. Whoa. Why don't we thicken the cartilage? Hey, how about that? Well, I digress. Leading to the common symptoms of joint swelling and pain. Now, just for the record, NSAIDs actually deteriorate and thin out joint cartilage. Just saying. And so the parentheses, they say, big news flash, we, doctors, don't have solutions. That's true. Now, if you don't have a solution to a problem, what should you do? What should you do? You guys can just put that in the chat box there. If you're on Chatango, what should you do if you don't have a solution to a problem? You can put it in the Facebook group. If you don't have a solution to a problem, stand aside. Stand down. Get out the way. Maybe someone else has got a solution. But so here we have medicine admitting we don't have a solution for osteoarthritis. Now, let's just dig a little deeper here. Let's dig a little bit deeper. We don't have a solution means we don't have effective therapy. That's what it means. It means we don't have effective therapy. Well, if the therapy you're giving is not effective, then why give it? But, again, I digress. So osteoarthritis has already been shown to be an independent risk factor for heart disease. But this industrious researcher wanted to detangle the role of NSAIDs, arthritis treatment, in this association. In other words, how much of this heart attack risk is due to osteoarthritis, and how much of the heart attack risk is due to the treatment we're giving for the arthritis? And remember, 23% increased risk of heart attack. All right. So put that up there in your noggin. And so they identified 7,000 people with osteoarthritis and 23,000 people without osteoarthritis. And they scanned 720,000 records to pull out these 30,000. All right. So healthcare is free in Canada, so everything is centralized. Here at the European League Against Rheumatism Congress, because I went to a conference to present his findings. With multivariate proportional hazard models, that means statistics, risk for the primary outcome of cardiovascular disease was estimated to be 23% higher in people with arthritis than in those without, after adjustment for age, sex, income, weight, hypertension, diabetes, hyperlipidemia, emphysema, and other things. Now, for secondary outcomes, risk for congestive heart failure was 42% higher in people with osteoarthritis. Now, congestive heart failure, as you know, is deadlier, you may not know, deadlier than cancer. So the five-year death rate from congestive heart failure is extremely high. So if you have 42% of people getting heart failure who would not otherwise have had them, then you have at least 20% of people being dead in 5 years who otherwise would have lived, just say it. So for ischemic heart disease, risk was 17% higher, and for stroke, 14% higher. So this is a lot of risk here. You know, you can add it up. 42, 50, 60, 73% higher is a lot of risk. When prescription dispensing records for current NSAID use, for your information, NSAIDs is ibuprofen, Motrin, Advil, Indocin. So NSAID use was linked to the healthcare database about 67.5% of the total effect of cardiovascular disease risk was related to NSAID use. In other words, when you cross-reference according to pharmacy records, 67.5% of the increased risk of heart disease and death among folks with arthritis could be explained just by their use of these drugs to relieve their arthritis pain. Now, they're gonna drill down on this, and this gets to be absolutely horrifying. So, specifically, the risk for congestive heart failure increased by 44.8%. But wait, 44.8% increase in congestive heart failure, that's identical to, or even more than, the risk of congestive heart failure in osteoarthritis. So in other words, the osteoarthritis heart failure risk is totally 100% explained by the use of the arthritis medicines. The risk of ischemic heart disease, read heart attack, increased by 94.5%, and the risk for stroke increased by 93.3%. This is a near doubling of the risk for getting a heart attack and a stroke. And this is just for taking NSAIDs. By the way, just put this in your head and smoke it. Aspirin, which they tell you to take one a day to prevent heart attack and stroke, is an NSAID. So NSAID, class of drugs, doubles your chance of heart attack and nearly doubles your chance of stroke. Yet, people are being told to take an NSAID to prevent these two conditions. Just saying. All right. So these results are likely conservative. In other words, it's probably a lot worse. Why? Because the records only captured prescription NSAIDs. The effect of over-the-counter NSAIDs like ibuprofen and naproxen were not accounted for. We would have to involve pharmacists and capture that information, and that would likely amplify the results. In other words, it's even worse. So as bad as this is, it's even worse. So we have a condition, osteoarthritis. That's just aches and pains in your joints, which is thought to increase your chance of having a heart attack. But now we find, no. You have the osteoarthritis, which is treated by a drug which causes the increased heart attack risk. However, the significant role of NSAIDs play in heart disease risk is a big problem, he said. And I don't have an answer on how to solve it. Do you think you could stop prescribing NSAIDs for osteoarthritis? How about that? So he says, do you want to live with pain or live longer? Now this is, again, this statement has a lot of implicit assumptions. Do you want to live with pain? Well, of course you don't. But then you don't have to. Or live longer. And the presumption is anything you do to address the pain is going to shorten your life. That's a false assumption. Maybe anything the doctor is going to do to relieve your pain will shorten your life. But wait, there's another implicit assumption here. That is that intervention by the doctor is going to relieve the pain, which of course it isn't. So we have a lot of false assumptions here. One, that you'll live longer with treatment or without treatment. All right, commercial time. We'll be back in a moment.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Give such delight. We all leave before morning light. Please don't go.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And we are looking at cause and effect. What is the cause and what is the effect? We doctors were told, and you probably in the public were told too, that osteoarthritis causes increased risk of heart disease. Well, not so fast. All right. So, again, another false premise here, false dichotomy, that you have to live with pain or live longer. In other words, the only way to live to relieve arthritic pain is to shorten your life. And that's just false. He said, you haven't got much of a chance without NSAIDs. If you want to take away the pain... Now, again, NSAIDs do not take away the pain. They diminish the pain. The drugs are indispensable in his daily practice, he told Medscape Medical News. Although he warns patients to be careful, because NSAIDs can have adverse effects on the kidney and heart, and they take them anyway because it helps, he says. Now, it can put you on dialysis. So this little aspirin a day, an NSAID, is not exactly harmless. So you have to discuss the risks with your patient. Do you want to live with pain, or do you want to live longer? And again, there are other solutions, such as changing your diet, doing enemas, switching to distilled water instead of tap or well water. And all of these things are not even mentioned, not in medical school, and doctors are instructed not to mention it to their patients. We're even told in medical school that diet and arthritis are not related. So joint replacements can be an option for some patients, but otherwise, stick to the pills. Okay, so literally, these pills are doubling your chances of dying from dying a gruesome death. Let's be blunt about this. But the doctor says, take them anyway. But wait, let's take a look at some other researches. There is so much research on this subject. Now, we've just cleared up, we've just established that ibuprofen and naproxen double the risk of heart disease. And so most people would think of that as being unsafe. Okay. All right. So let's make sure we got that piece of information tucked in our little brains. We don't want to overload ourselves. We got to keep this, you know. And so cardiovascular safety of a new drug, celecoxib, is similar to naproxen and ibuprofen, FDA panels say. Well, if the safety is the same, that means the danger is the same. In other words, it's dangerous. It's going to double your chances of heart disease. So the FDA says, and they voted jointly by a large margin, that the heart safety of Celebrex is comparable to naproxen and ibuprofen. Now, this is Celebrex, those of you who are old enough to remember, back in somewhere around 2004, was the subject of a big firestorm over creating, you know, tens of thousands of heart attack deaths. And their defense, of course, is, whoa, we're as safe as the next guy. And the FDA says, you know what? You are. So the FDA's Arthritis Committee, Risk Management Advisory Committee, voted 15 yes and 5 no and 1 abstention that the prospective randomized evaluation of Celebrex versus ibuprofen and naproxen demonstrated comparable heart safety. Now, comparable heart safety means it just doubles your chances of dying of a heart attack. Now, double means like 100% more. That's a lot. It's a big risk. So one of these members of the committee says, I have been convinced by the committee that the trial did add value. I believe there is comparable heart disease event rate at the 100 milligram dose. My answer was yes, in that context, says temporary voting panel member Christine. So we can guess she may have been put on the panel just to vote yes. Commercial time.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, Independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Dr. Daniels, and we are back with Healing with Dr. Daniels and Cause and Effect, or is it? Is it? Okay, so we've established, medical industrial complex has established with research from credible sources that the commonly used medicines for arthritis, aspirin, Motrin, Naproxen, common everyday ones, double your risk of dying of a heart attack. Established. There is no question. They have spoken. All right. So we would think that having identified this risk, the obvious solution is, stop these drugs. Cease and desist. No, we are going to see one of the better double downs in history. Watch this. So the FDA says there's a third man on the block that wants to come play ball. And at a low dose of 100 milligrams, which, by the way, nobody uses, it is totally as safe as the drugs we already have, so of course we should approve it. Never question, should you have approved the other drugs? So the panel's vote followed consideration of data from the PRECISION trial, a post-marketing trial requested by the FDA to evaluate cardiovascular thrombotic risk of Celebrex. Now, that means sudden death from heart attack. After new data emerged about the risk of these heart attacks, well over 10 years ago, exactly, well over 2004 it happened, FDA concluded the risk of heart attack events was associated also with non-selective NSAIDs already on the market. Precision was a randomized trial begun in 2006 and included 24,000 individuals. All patients had osteoarthritis or rheumatoid arthritis and had or were at high risk for heart disease. In other words, they presumed the risk was because of their osteoarthritis. But now we know better, right? Yes, we know better. So independently assessed the risk of heart attack death, non-deadly heart attack, or non-deadly stroke. They didn't want to count the deadly strokes. All right, I get you. Okay. Well, what can we ask, right? Count what you want to count. We're good. The trial's primary hypothesis was Celebrex non-inferiority to naproxen. Other hypotheses were whether the drug was non-inferior to ibuprofen or whether ibuprofen was non-inferior to naproxen. So in other words, no one checked in this study, are these drugs deadly? No. We're just checking to see if one is worse than the other or one is more dangerous than the other. All right, I got you. All right. So I agree the study did show Celebrex was not more dangerous than the other two non-steroidals. There was not a placebo group to show how poor they would do. So in other words, they didn't check the group with, like, no drugs at all. No. And that's the new age study, which is that drugs are now being compared to other drugs. They're not being compared to placebo. No, the old sugar pill, they retired that placebo a long time ago. That glass of water, they retired that placebo a long time ago. So we're comparing dangerous drug B to dangerous drug A. And all we want to establish is that dangerous drug B is as dangerous as dangerous drug A, and not any more dangerous. It could be a little less dangerous or as dangerous. And so for Celebrex to be as dangerous and not more dangerous, they had to actually lower the dose of Celebrex below what most people take, just by the way. So during the during this trial, they also studied the relationship between other risk factors like smoking. So current smoking was reported by 21% of Celebrex users and ibuprofen users and naproxen users. All right. And those are randomly assigned. Okay. So the label included warnings about increased risk for heart attack or stroke that can occur during the first weeks of NSAID use. Now, NSAID, again, class of drugs we're talking about. And in people without heart disease or risk factors. This is important. So if you're taking ibuprofen, naproxen, or any of these drugs, even if you'd have no history of heart disease and no history of arthritis, it still doubles your risk of heart disease. So the results of the Precision trial were published online in 2016. And so this is a person, a dissenting voter. Well, he won't be on the committee long. He says, I don't think this one trial answers the question. And this guy voted that the trial did not demonstrate comparable safety. He says, my major concern is the word safety. It perhaps demonstrated non-inferiority. In other words, it demonstrated this drug was no worse than any other drug on the market, but did not demonstrate safety, said temporary voting member Neil. Well, he's temporary, so he's got to go. Professor of Clinical Medicine at La Jolla University, California, San Diego. And so another guy voted, I voted yes with the caveat that the recommendations are limited to the doses and indications in this trial. In other words, again, the doses, Celebrex 100 milligrams a day, is rarely used. I do want to add that I do believe for the overall question of safety, there needs to be consideration of other studies. I don't think this one trial answers that question. Oh, get this. In terms of the high dropout rate, Now, we talked about other studies, the high dropout rate. Why would someone drop out? Well, you drop out because you drop dead. That's one reason to drop out of a trial, right? How can you count a dead body? Yeah, drop out of the trial. We called and he didn't answer the phone. Yeah, that's one reason to drop out. Another reason to drop out is side effects are so severe. And so in terms of the high dropout rate and the improvement of the visual analog score of only about 10 out of 100, in other words, on a scale of 0 to 100, these drugs only gave 10 points of pain relief. So he says, we do a really poor job of controlling our patients' pain. And we see that as rheumatologists, and as we continue to move away from opioids, it doesn't look like non-steroids are doing their trick either. So it's something to look at. In other words, the drugs don't work. People are doubling their heart attack risk and not even relieving their pain. This is a travesty. But wait. I think we're going to commercial. Oh, okay. Thank you. My engineer is helping me out with this. Okay. So now we have another. So someone else got curious. And they said, you know what? Let's just take a look at all these NSAID drugs. Are they really safe? And here's the headline. All NSAIDs linked to increased heart attack risk. It's like, are you hearing me? And so what this article or study is saying is that these drugs are unsafe at any and every speed. They're all unsafe as a class. And so now we're back to where we started, back in the year of our Lord, 1980, when I was in medical school. What did they say to us? Aspirin is such a dangerous drug, the FDA would never have approved it. And no drug in that class should ever be approved because of the adverse effect on the heart and all the other problems that it has. And so now here we are. They're not saying these drugs should never have been approved. All they're saying is they're all dangerous. So use of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, NSAIDs, including naproxen, considered by some as one of the safest drugs in the class, is associated with a substantially increased risk for myocardial infarction, read heart attack. Results of a new patient-level meta-analysis show. And the analysis show the increased heart attack risk occurs as early as the first week of use. In other words, you can have your heart attack and drop dead after just one use, 1 week of using these drugs. That's, like, way cool. I mean, who needs to try suicide, right? Just go to your doctor and use the drugs as prescribed. I mean, way cool. Even though the research suggests increased heart attack risk lessened over time. Yeah, because the ones who kept using it dropped dead, number one, and many people just stopped using it. And a lot of times in clinical trials, adverse outcomes lessen over time because people just stop taking the drug and they don't tell the researcher they stopped taking it. And they continue as if they are taking it. But for most patients, the risk is very small. If you average people with different baseline heart attack risk, the risk due to NSAIDs is only 1% per year. Whoa, whoa, whoa. The risk of 2% per year is the risk of heart attack, non-fatal. So this, even that 1% risk is still a 50% increase in risk. And then for 100 healthy young people to get one heart attack, additional heart attack a year out the crowd, that's pretty impressive in someone whose heart attack risk at the age of 26, let's say, was just about nothing. So out of 100 people treated continuously for a year, there would be one extra heart attack. And again, these people who are taking this for arthritis, many of them are young people whose risk of a heart attack was absolutely zero before taking an NSAID, just by the way. I'm going to take a quick break here and turn off my oven so my cake, my bread does not burn. Hold on. So if you're on YouTube, you'll get to see the loaf of bread. All right, so this is a problem. And so they're dismissing this as, nothing. And so you've got these ladies who take Motrin for their period, maybe for 1 week out the month. According to this, their risk of a heart attack is real. And so, again, a lot of times these researchers try and get you to think very narrowly about these things. But you take expansively and say, whoa, who else is using these drugs? What are they using it for? So in a clinical trial, you're assigned to a group, and you take the NSAID on a continuous basis, and you stay on that dose. Whereas in practice, patients may use lower doses or varying doses, use a drug on and off, and switch between drugs, she said. However, in a clinical trial, as I mentioned, and I've now looked at many clinical trials, I've talked to people who've been in clinical trials, and again and again and again, what I hear is they stop taking the drug over time because of the side effects, and they continue in the drug-taking group and continue to represent that they are taking the drug because they want to get the payment from being in the trial. We saw this with people in the trials in India. We saw this, and I've seen this with U.S. trials as well. And so this assumption of this doctor is totally inaccurate. NSAIDs of interest for the current study were Celebrex and ibuprofen, naproxen, and diclofenac, and rifaximin. Studies were limited to those conducted before Vioxx was withdrawn from the market because of safety concerns for increased risk for cardiovascular events. So Vioxx and Celebrex both had this really bad, obvious event back in 2004. And people were just dropping dead like flies. Vioxx lost their nerve, took the drug off the market. The people who were doing Celebrex said, no, we're going to hang in there. We smell money. And the Celebrex people, it looks like, may have made the better marketing decision. Very interesting. So here they have all the different, odds ratio, credible interval. So Celebrex, 82% increase. Ibuprofen, 120% increase in heart attack risk. Diclofenac, 100% increase. Naproxen, 133% increase. And rifaximin, 117% increase. So rifaximin, which is Vioxx, as you can see, its risk, just as they said in the other studies, is no worse than what's already on the market. But they lost their nerve and took their drug off the market. So use of higher dose were associated with even higher risk of heart attack. Use for 8 to 30 days at a high dose was especially harmful for ibuprofen, which is more than 1,200 a day, that's the recommended in the package, 400 milligrams. Four times a day, we doctors recommend 800 milligrams three times a day, all the time. That's 2,400 milligrams. And so the doctor recommended dose is extremely harmful, they say, for ibuprofen. Naproxen, wow. But a longer duration of treatment did not seem to be associated with greater probability of increased risk for heart attack. And again, that's because people tend to stop taking this stuff. For duration of treatment, we observe that the risk does not go away, but it doesn't increase further. But let's interpret this with a big note of caution because we did not measure reinfarctions. So if someone had two heart attacks during the study, it was only counted as one. Wow, this is wonderful. So this is what's called study design, where a study is actually designed to minimize certain observations. Okay, Dr. Bailey noted that ibuprofen estimates may be more fragile because it's available over-the-counter, and in this analysis, its use as needed was more prevalent than other NSAIDs. However, people are reimbursed for NSAIDs, so they have an incentive to get a prescription for this drug rather than buy it over-the-counter. So what she's saying is maybe we captured most of the use because people would prefer not to buy it over-the-counter. And so patients should get a good idea of what their baseline risk of a heart attack is and decide if they want to use these drugs or not. What we see, it doesn't matter what your baseline risk is. So if your baseline risk is average, which is already very high, again, in the United States, 800,000 deaths a year. Talk when we come back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and you are listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And so what we're looking at here is the rest of the double down. So we're saying, well, you know, all of these drugs are linked to increased heart attack risk, hence increased death. Now, I just want to point out that a lot of women, when they go home from the hospital after having a baby, they are put on these NSAIDs, for their pain. And it's been noted that in the post postpartum period after people have a baby, they have increased risk of stroke and heart attack. It's entirely possible that in that setting, this increased risk of stroke and heart attack is, again, due to the NSAIDs they receive for their pain. Okay, so what's their solution here? The solution here is for the patient to know his risk of heart attack and decide whether or not to take these drugs. And that is outrageous. Why are you going to see the doctor if he has no increased wisdom in terms of recommendations? But it doesn't stop there. It does not stop there. It says NSAIDs vary in how much they raise heart failure hospitalization risk. Again, heart failure is a pretty, this is serious. This is, you know, heart gets weak. Instead of going, it goes, and the lungs fill up with fluid. This is a bad deal. And so NSAIDs vary in how much they raise heart failure hospitalization risk. It's another article on Medscape. So the risk of hospitalization for heart failure with current use of these drugs varies with the use of individual NSAIDs. So which drug are you using? Now, the shocking thing is the increase, every drug had an increased risk. And the increased risk varied from 18% all the way as high as 86% increase in their chances of being hospitalized for heart failure. And for women, it was as low as 15% and as high as 96%. So the woman had the low end and the high end. This is amazing because as expensive as these drugs might be, one hospitalization for congestive heart failure, that's a major ka-ching. You're looking at $20,000 to $40,000. I mean, what cardiologist would not put his patients on these drugs? Okay, so however, the clinical perspective of the study was limited. It only reported odds ratios and did not provide data on excess absolute risk. Well, we don't care because if it creates even one more hospitalization for heart failure, we're doomed. It's like terrible. More when we come back.
I saw you there, just standing there. And I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then, and then once again.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.